As usual, the singing this morning has been outstanding, and I appreciate everyone using their talent to serve the Lord. I want to say a few words before I get into the message this morning. Today, as you leave, you will receive a card like this. If you have not already filled it out, I'd ask you to fill it out. I trust you've been praying about what God would have you to do, not what the preacher would have you to do, and not even what you would have yourself to do, but what God would have you to do in this matter of world evangelism. We call it faith promise missions. It's faith because we rely on God to supply the need. It's not something I'm going to go out and try to make happen. I want to be responsible with what God gives me. I want to be a good steward of what God gives me. But this particular offering is not for the church. It's not for the pastor. I'll not get one cent of this. The church takes very good care of me, and I'm thankful and grateful for that. But this is not about that. It's not about building upkeep. It's not even about the new property that we have. Every cent that comes into Faith Promise Missions goes into mission endeavor. And we want to just get the gospel out. And so I'd ask you to prayerfully consider and then mark your card. Do not write your name on the card. It's called faith because it's by faith and what God's going to provide, not just to you, but through you and me. And then it's called promise. Well, it's something that you, as you, God gives you the faith, you promise to give what God gives to you. Now, I had to learn a long time ago, not everything that God gives to me is for me. God sometimes will give through me what he's not given to me. How many of you had to learn that lesson? Yeah. Okay, a few of you. Some of you got it right off. That's good. You're good. And then there's mission. It's all for mission. And so I trust. I have zero hesitation. If I was standing up here this morning asking, well, you know, my wife and I has a need, it would be very difficult for me. I don't even know that I would do it because I'm kind of wired that way. But I'm not asking for the church to do anything of that sort for me. As I said, the church takes good care of my wife and I. This is about missions. This is to help missionaries. This is to help people spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I want to ask you a few questions, and then I'll get you to read some scripture with me, and I have some comments I want to make this morning. I don't have an outline. Don't let that shake you up. It doesn't mean I don't have a message. A lot of times when I have an outline, I have a sermon. I'm not against outlines, but this morning I don't have a sermon. I have a message that God has burned on my heart, and I want to share it with you as God placed it there. And I ask you to breathe a prayer here in just a moment that I would share the message that God burned on my heart exactly the way he burned it on my heart. The song service, though, that those in music have no idea of what I'm going to be preaching, God has definitely aligned the songs with the message this morning. I want you to look at verse number 16 of John chapter 3. I wished I had the time this morning, I do, to give you the backdrop of this verse of Scripture. This is one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. John chapter 3. I believe that John 3:16 is the greatest text in the entire Bible. Now that's just my belief. That's my opinion. That's my preference. You may believe different, and that's fine. I want you to read aloud with me as I read John 3:16. Because as Pastor David said, sometimes we get so familiar with this great text that if we're not careful, we'll just lose something when we hear it read or we read it ourselves. I do want to give you just a little bit of a backdrop. I mean just a little bit. There was a man of the Pharisees whose name was Nicodemus. Now Nicodemus, and I want you to keep this in mind, was very, very familiar with the law of God. But he was not very familiar with the love of God. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was a religious man who was very stringent in his laws and in the laws of God. And some, these men, as Pharisees and the tribunal and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of that day, added to God's law to make it even more stringent than that it already was and is. While Nicodemus had a handle on the law, he knew very little about love. And so the Bible says that this man who was very religious, who had never had a spiritual experience with God because he was only acquainted with that showed him that God was holy, that showed him that man was a sinner, and yet there was a gulf between them that had not yet been breached, that had not been connected, that had not been spanned. And God sent Jesus to span that gulf. And I'm glad that Jesus did. I'm glad that Jesus had this conversation with Nicodemus. I'm thankful that I get to look into the heart of God when I read this verse of Scripture. I've been thinking all week, God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing in me lovable. There was nothing in me that would cause the God of heaven to send His only begotten Son to this world. And yet God loved me anyway. And I sure am glad that He did and that He does. And I just want people to know that God loves them. That's what Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know. And as they began to have this conversation, it's as if the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, Nicodemus, you're very well versed on some things. You're a teacher. You're a master. You know things about the schoolmaster. And that is exactly what the law is and was to bring us to this place. But you know very little about what to do when you get there. And I want to teach you, Nicodemus, what it takes to get a man more familiar with God than what the law can familiarize himself with. It'd be a sad thing to go through life and only be familiar with the law of God. I thank God for His law, don't you? Please don't leave here mistaken what I'm going to say this morning. I thank God for His law. But I'm glad that God didn't stop at His law. I'm glad that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The same law, the same God that gave that law showed me I was a sinner. I wouldn't have known I was a sinner had it not been for the law of God. How would I have known that I should not have coveted if the law did not say, thou shalt not covet? How should I know that I should not lie had the law said, thou shalt not bear false witness? But I'm thankful that the same God that gave His law demonstrated His love in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what God is doing. As a matter of fact, when we get, and I ask you to read this, when you get to the word so, I want you to know that that so there is a connecting word. And it's connecting in verse number 14. And what God is teaching Nicodemus with that word so, now there's a couple of things about the word that we'll look at here in just a moment. But he said, Nicodemus, you know, your people know a little something about God's deliverance. Your people know a little something about God making a way. Because when they were sinning in the wilderness, when the children of Israel were coming through the wilderness and they had sinned against me, he said in verse number 14, he said, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God made a way, Nicodemus. Though man is sinful, though man is hard-headed, though man is hard-hearted, God made a way for those people. And he said, now, Nicodemus, God has made a way for all people, because though that serpent in the wilderness was for the children of Israel, God loves more than just the children of Israel. God loves the world, Nicodemus. Get hold of it, Nicodemus. God loves the world. And he just kept bringing it up. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. God sent not his son into where? The world, Nicodemus. The world. It's not just about Israel anymore. Yes, that is God's chosen people nationally. But Nicodemus, get a hold of this new covenant. Get a hold of this new message. It's for the whole world, Nicodemus. He brought it up again at the latter part of verse 17. But that the world through him might be saved. I thank God for that. I thank God that God has a love for the whole world. Now listen to me. That's not just the world that was in Nicodemus' day. That's everyone from Adam's race. I don't know how many billions upon billions upon billions and trillions of people that is. But I stand before you this morning to tell you that God loves every one of them. God so loved the world. My mind can't get around that. God loves the world. You say, well, preacher, big deal. That's a big world. It's a big world, and it's a big God with a big love that loves the whole world. That is something that our little old minds cannot wrap around. And here was this man that had met Jesus by night. And he went to question him, and he knew there was something different about him. He just knew. He said, no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. You're different. You're different. Can I tell you, he is different. He's a difference maker too. Amen. I'm telling you, things picked up in my life when I met this Son of God right here that the Bible's speaking of. And so I'd like for you to read with me, with this in mind. When you see that word so, for God so loved, it just means this. It means that just like God provided a way because he loved the children of Israel, God has provided a way for the world. And he so loved, just like he so gave that serpent on that rod to provide deliverance. God has given something to provide deliverance for you and for me. You go look at all the brazen serpents on a rod you want to go look at. It's not going to do a whole lot for you. But I'm here to tell you that when you look unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith, the Bible says there's something good in store for you. Amen? Amen. And so let's read it. Would you read it with me? John 3:16. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's your question. Do you believe that? I mean, really believe it. I do. I not only believe it, I've received it. I have acted upon this verse of Scripture right here. I have received Jesus as my Savior. And I am saved by the grace of God because I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that God loves the world. Sometimes I can't comprehend it. But as I mentioned to you earlier in the service, there are people on the backside of this world who are living in remote jungles that I will never see in my lifetime. God loves them. They don't look like us. They don't speak like us. Their culture's not like our culture. But yet they were made in the image of God, and God loves them. God loves them. They may not do church the way we do it. Listen to me now. They may not sing what we heard this morning. They may not approach things the way we approach things. But God loves them. And God sent his Son to die for them. God gave his Son. God so loved them. Yes, God so loved me. And God so loved you. But God so loves them too. And that's what missions is about. But how do we get a message to them? I'll never see them. You'll never see them. Will someone with this message ever make it to them? I don't know. I want to try to do my part. I believe you want to try to do your part. Collectively, we want to try to do our part. God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, has made us ambassadors of Christ. We are representing Jesus Christ on this earth. Amen? That's what the word Christian means, little Christ. That's what we are. We're representing Him. And we have been committed. We have been committed the word of reconciliation. Man and God are separated. Man has sinned against God. The law of God has been broken. And man has been separated from God. And God gave His only begotten Son to unite God and man back together. But how will man hear? How will they know? Let me ask you a question. How do you know? Who did God send to you? He said, God didn't send anyone to me. You better rethink that. God did send someone to you. Was it a parent? Was it a preacher? Was it a friend? Was it a stranger? Why are you sitting in church this morning? Who told you the good news? Who told you? Were you young? Were you old? Were you at home? Were you at work? Aren't you glad God sent someone to you? I am so thankful that God sends. I'm thankful that God sends. You know, the word missionary comes from the same word apostle. And if you look in verse number 17, it says, for God sent. You see that word? That's our word. That's our word. That word there is apostello, which means apostle, which means a sent one on a mission. When God sent His Son, you believe me when I tell you, when you bear out the scripture, He sent Him on a mission, amen. And Jesus set His face like a flint toward Calvary, and nothing deterred Him because He came with a mission, and that was to die for the sin of all the world. Not just my sin only, but 1 John 2:2 says, for the sin of the whole world. You know what? If there were many ways to heaven, the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus may be weakened somewhat. But there is one mediator. Listen to me. There's one God and one mediator. This is 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. And the Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John 14, He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And He began to tell them about what laid on the other side for them because they were disciples, because they had received Him. And then He said this, He said, I am the way. The truth, not a way, not a truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so since Jesus is the only way, Jesus is the only way to heaven, please sit up and listen carefully. Because there's a great big world out there that needs to hear this message. Don't you take for granted what you're getting to hear this morning. You're getting to hear God's word read in your hearing. You're getting to hear God's word read in your mother tongue, in your language. You can understand it. You're getting to hear that there's a great big God in heaven who spoke the worlds into existence, who flung the stars in the sky. He calleth them all by name. God did that. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Amen. That God loves you. Amen. Now you think about that for a minute. That God loves us, brethren. That God loves us. The God that knows all about us. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 16, you see the word loved? Past tense. For God so loved the world. You know what that means? God loved you before He knew you. Or you knew Him. God loved you before you knew Him. God loved you when you were yet a sinner. You do understand that. God loved you though you are a sinner. Amen. That God loves us. But can I tell you, somewhere there's folks just like us, human, flesh and blood, just trying to make it through life, seeking for purpose and a place in this old place called the world. And they don't know about this God. And I'm just, in my mind, was thinking this past week, is my God worth the whole world knowing? I want to declare unto you, and God is listening, He is. He's worthy. And I want to do my part, and I believe you want to do your part. Now, this is not just about giving, though giving will count, but this is about praying. We heard that this past week. We need to pray that God would send forth laborers into His field. Maybe some need to go. So what's the message, preacher? Well, here's the message. Do you believe John 3:16? Now think about it. Do you believe God loves the world? That He sent His Son to die for the sin of the whole world, and that Jesus came and lived. He died a brutal death on the cross. He was buried. He rose again from the grave, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that? I do too. I do. But do I believe it to a place where I'm willing to take an action? See, God loved the world. And so what did He do? Somebody say it. He gave. Do you love people? If you do, what are you going to do? If you love them the way God loves them, you're going to give. I'm not going to give a whole lot. Well, that's between you and God. I'll tell you what God did. He gave it all. He gave His only begotten Son. I want you to look into the heart of God with me in the few moments that we have together. But before I do, I'm going to ask you to flip to Romans chapter number 10. Because I want you to see this. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said about this John 3:16. Romans 10, are you there? Romans chapter 10. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You believe that? I do. I not only believe it, I've experienced it. I called on Jesus and He saved me. Look at verse 14. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" Well, now we have a problem. Because John 3:18 says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." Now, how are they going to call upon Him in whom they have not believed? You say, "Well, preacher, they ought to believe. They ought to call on Him." Well, let's read on. Verse number 14. "And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard?" Okay, now it's picking up. It's getting interesting. Well, people ought to call on the Lord. And they should. And the Bible says if a man would, if a woman would, if a child, if a person that is convicted of their sin would call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. But now how are they going to call on Him in whom they have not believed? But how are they going, the Bible says, how are they going to believe on Him in whom they have not heard? It's staggering at the amount of people that have never heard of Jesus Christ. It's staggering. And I want to do something about that. We have been left here to do something about that. So now, preacher, God left me here to enjoy my Christian life. Let me tell you something. You're going to enjoy it far more in heaven than you will here. And so if that's all God left you here for, you've mistaken why God left you here. The Christian life is going to be far more enjoyable on the other side than it is this side. Somebody say amen with me. Though I am enjoying my life, don't misunderstand me. God's been very, very, very good to me. And I enjoy my life, but I know what's waiting on me on the other side. Amen? So God did not leave us here just to enjoy our life. God has left us here as ambassadors. God has left us here as messengers. So, well, that's the preachers. That's the missionaries. No, that's the Christians. We have been left here to evangelize the world. And he said here in verse number 14, please look at this. How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now God, listen, God has given the message. And God has called people to preach. But now this is where you come in. You say, God hasn't called me to preach. And God doesn't call everyone to preach. But God does call people to preach. Say amen with me. This is not something you just take up. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Look at verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be, what's that next word? Sent. This is the commission to the church, brethren. This is your responsibility. This is my responsibility. This is our responsibility. But it's just not a responsibility. Please hear me this morning. It is a privilege. We get to be a part of God's great missions program. We get to be a part of it. I tell you, God really spoke to my heart about not praying that God would send laborers into his fields, into his harvest. And I want to be faithful, and I trust you'll be faithful, and I want to pray, and I want to give, and I want to send, and if God wills it, I'll go. I'll do anything God asks me to do by the grace of God, and I believe many of you will too. I believe John 3:16. But not everyone believes. And the reason that some of them that do not believe is because they have not heard. And the reason that some of those that have not heard, they have not heard because there's no preacher to tell them. And the reason that there's, for some of them, no preacher to tell them is because they haven't been sent. All I'm asking is, Fellowship Baptist Church, as your pastor, let's do our part. Let's do our part. Let's send more. Let's give more. Not to the preacher. Not to the building program. Well, yeah, you can give more to the building program, but not through missions. Not through other ministries of this church. This is missions. This is the most important ministry of the church. What are you doing about it? Did you tell anybody this past week about Jesus? Now listen to him. I'm going to get real with you, okay? So I want you to listen. Please don't tell me how much you love people and Jesus if you're not spreading the word. You don't. You're deceiving yourself. I'm not being mean here. I'm just being straight. Now, I don't mean just this past week. I realize sometimes, you know, opportunities don't present themselves. But let me just expand on that. Have you told anyone in the last week? In the last month? Has it been 3 months since somebody sitting in our congregation this morning has not one time passed out a gospel tract or shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone? And we're going to fill out a card and put $20 a year on there to help the foreign missions. And we want to walk across the street and tell our neighbor that Jesus loves them and died for them. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, but if you feel guilty, I pray God drive that guilt so deep in your heart you'll repent of it. Amen. Brethren, we have a great message to declare. I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus. And I know you are too. How could you have heard about Jesus and not be glad about it? But there's many, many people in many, many places who have not heard. Let's go back to John 3, and I want to give you some things about the heart of God, and I'll be through. In John 3, you say, preacher, would you hurry? Yeah, I will. When I look at John 3:16, I first of all want you to know that we get a glimpse into God's heart. Notice what God's heart is. For God so loved. That's the heart of God. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved. I told you that word so, it does mean the manner, just like God provided so. In so fashion, he will provide for the whole world. Just like he provided for Israel, Nicodemus, he so is going to provide for the whole world. And he gave his only begotten son to do that. That's from a loving heart of a loving God. Aren't you glad that God provided a way that you and I could be reconciled back to him? I sure am. Because without him, we could not be reconciled to God. We could not be. Because we had irreconcilable differences. And only Jesus could reconcile us back to God. He's the only one. We did not possess what it took to get where we needed to be with God, but I'm glad that Jesus did that for me and on my behalf and for you and on your behalf. He's so loved. You know what that word so also means? It means it's overflowing. It's gushing, right? We're not talking about a little hug, okay? Come here and give me a little hug, that little brotherly hug, right? Like we do our Christian brethren, we give them that little brotherly hug. That's not the love that God's speaking of here. It's not a filial love. Please hear me. It's not a filial love. It's not a brotherly love. It's not an affectionate love even. Between like a husband and wife. It's not an eros love, an erotic love. It is an agape love. The highest God is loving with the highest love all the world. And when I thought about that this past week, how that God sent his son to a world that had gone astray. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. We're going to do what we want to do. We're not going to do what you say do, God. And God says, you know what? I love you anyway. That's something, amen? And that's something. That's something to celebrate. That there's a God that loves that way. God, I'm not going to answer when you call. I'm going to keep loving you anyway. And so we see into God's heart. We see a God that has an unconditional love, and don't you ever forget it. You say, preacher, God doesn't know what I've done. Yes, he does. And he still loves you. I said, no, wait a minute. How can you make that statement? You don't know what I've done. Don't need to know what you've done. God knows what you've done, and he still loves you. It's not important that I know what you've done. God loves you. Now he does. And it's with an unconditional love. Please don't forget that. It's with an unequaled love. It's with a love that passeth knowledge. Please don't forget it. God loves you. If you leave here today, if you don't leave here with any other thought in your mind, I pray to God that God would burn it in your soul. There's a God in heaven that loves me. God loves me. And he loves me with an unconditional love. That means he loves me when I'm good and he loves me when I'm not. Amen. Now you ought to be good. Amen. He loves me when I do right and he loves me when I don't. Now you ought to do right, but God loves you. Amen. God loves you. There's nothing you can do, please hear me, that will cause God to cease from loving you, because Jeremiah 31:3 says God loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. And so I see into the heart of God, for God so loved the world, brethren. And again, you say, well, preacher, so he loves the world. Well, let me just kind of narrow this down for you. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now listen, who loved me? Make it personal. God loves you. God loves you. Yes, God loves the world, but God loves you. He does. I pray that you have heard him say today, I love you. Would you allow yourself to hear God say, I love you. I love you, and I gave my son for you. Now, you see, there's two things that these verses of Scripture say. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. And then look at verse 17. For God sent. Now, when it says God gave, that means that God gave his son for you. Now, when it says that God sent, that means, hear me now, that God and Jesus had such a uniform relationship that it was their relationship that God sent his son. And God had a relationship with who he made, and that's why God gave him. And so God sent his son that he could give him to reconcile what he had made back to him. And I'm glad that he did. I'm thankful that he did. You know, where would we be without God loving us? Where would we be? So I see into the heart of God. Then I see into the mind of God. You know how many verses, you know how many words are in verse number 16? 25. You know what the middle word of 25 words would be? 13. You know what the 13th word of John 3:16 in your King James Bible is? Son. You know why? Because God makes his son the central of everything that he does. When we try to do missions, now please hear me, I'm about through. When we try to do missions, when we try to do ministry, when we try to do the work of God without the focus on his son, when we make it about a dollar, when we make it about a preacher, when we make it about a church, when we make it about a missionary, when we make it even about the people that need to be reached, hear me now, it's not going to get the blessing of God that it needs. But when we make things about his son, you get the eye of God. I wonder how you and I are doing ministry. If there's one thing that I really took heart in, and that was when Dr. Sinclair got up last week and he said, you know, this church just seems to put a lot of emphasis on Jesus. You're right, sir. We do. Without him, we would be nothing. Why would we even meet here today? What hope would we have if we didn't have Jesus? What kind of mission program would we have if we didn't make it about Jesus? I heard of a missionary who went to a very tribal people that was way back in the jungle, and he dedicated his entire life to those people, and he came out, and when he came out one time, there was a group of people that were there awaiting him, and they said, my, the sacrifices you have made, you must really love those people. And he said, no, it's not all about that. He said, I love my Jesus. That's why I do what I do. You know, it's just good to keep Jesus in the center, isn't it? It really is. God does. And he said, let me give you my mind on how you can get back to me. Don't miss it now. Verse 16, that whosoever believeth in him, you got it? The Son, the only begotten Son. You believe in him, God's going to accept you. If you accept what Jesus has done for you, if you accept that God sent his Son just like that brass serpent that to die on the cross for your sin, if you accept that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, if you accept him, if it's believing, it's faith that activates this. Now God's going to do business with you. Amen? It's got to be about Jesus, brethren. And then we see the will of God. Look at it as we bring this to a close. Verse number 16. Whosoever believeth in him now should not perish. But here's the will of God, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you, God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He does. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You believe that? I believe you do. I do. But I also believe Romans 10. How shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We have been given the word of reconciliation. The torch has been passed down from generation to generation. And here we are. And there's another generation behind us if Jesus doesn't come soon. And I pray that we would represent well that ministry that God has entrusted to us. And that is the ministry of the furtherance of the gospel. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please stand. Would you do that? I don't think there would be anyone in here today, as you bow your head with me, I don't think there would be anyone in here today that would say, preacher, I just don't agree with what you've said. I think that all of us realize what I've preached this morning is the Bible. How that God loves us. But God just doesn't love me. God loves you. And God just doesn't love us. He loves them. God so loved the whole world. And there's people that are just wandering in darkness. They're asking, what is life? Why am I here? How can I connect with the designer of the universe? How can I have a relationship with my Maker? And the answer is, they need to hear what we looked into God's Word and saw this morning. There's a God in heaven who loves you, and He gave His only begotten Son to die for you.